seated. So I'm going to break the Baptist code tonight, and we're only going to sing two songs. If anybody is having jerks there, you'll calm down in a minute. It's okay. It's okay if we don't do the same thing all the time. I knew it was Wally's birthday, and I wanted to cut it short for him tonight. That's not why, Brother Steve. Brother Steve said, remember the message you preached this morning. Hey, there's no worldly motivation here. Just heathen people wanting to be out on time. I'm just kidding. I don't know why I wanted to do two songs tonight, but we did, and that's where we're at. And I guess now that we're talking about it, we're using the time we would have used to singing the song, so it doesn't matter anyways. So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter number 25. 2 Chronicles chapter number 25. This passage of Scripture. If you heard, I have actually preached this here before 2 years ago. So if we're going through this message and you're like, it seems like I've heard this before, you have. But the Lord laid this on my heart this evening. And He was chastening my heart even as I was meditating upon and thinking through this text. And He's even pointed out things in my life that I need to change to be obedient to what I'm preaching to you tonight. If this message isn't for anyone in the building tonight, it's for me. I want you to know that. But I believe every person here can glean something from this as we look in the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. I'm only going to read verse number 2 or verses 1 and 2. I didn't put verse number 1 on the PowerPoint there. But 2 Chronicles chapter number 25, verses 1 and 2. And then we'll kind of break down the rest of the chapter throughout the message. And if you found your place, please stand in reverence to God's holy word. 2 Chronicles 25, reading beginning with verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And I want to preach tonight on the thought, the danger of a divided heart. Brother Steve Shelley, would you pray for us?
Father God, we thank you to be here again tonight, Lord, in your house, to hear your word. I pray and ask God that our hearts would be tender and receptive to what we hear tonight. I pray, God, that you would be with the pastor and give him the words to say.
Lord, yes, Lord.
I pray, God, that he would speak with clarity and fill him with your spirit. Lord,
yes. Amen. You may be seated. But to be honest with you, this passage of Scripture, I don't know, 7 years or so ago, changed my life. God used this to do some great things in my heart and in my life. And this verse, this passage, this chapter will forever have a special place in my heart. And I hope that it will do for you what it has done for me. And I want us to come to this message tonight with open ears and open hearts to give the Lord an opportunity to point out areas in our life that we may have not given to God yet. Because God wants all of us. God wants all of our hearts. And we will not be as effective as we can be and as He wants us to be until He has all of us. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, It says this elsewhere in Matthew 22 and also Mark 12. It says, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, not some of thy heart, but with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. We're commanded to give God all of our hearts, give God all of ourselves. And anything short of that is failure. And that should really hit home with all of us because none of us are loving God like that. Now, we can continue to love God each and every day more and better, but we'll never love Him perfectly and fully until we get to heaven. And that should bother us in the sense that we should want to love Him more, to give Him more of us every single day. Not less, but more. The world wants to give God all they need to, get their fire insurance, and then do what they want with the rest of their life. But children of God, we have been, like we talked about this morning, we've been saved by the grace of God, brought out of our spiritual Egypt. He has chosen us, called us, made us His children, and because He is our Father, He is holy, we are to be holy. And to do that, we've got to give God all of ourselves. But we see here in chapter 2 Chronicles 25, we see the danger of a divided heart. And we see here, the first thing I want to point out, and I'm going to move fairly quickly tonight, but the first thing I want to point out is the great start of Amaziah we see here. The great start. The Bible says here, at the beginning of verse number 2, it says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord." And if that's where this account stopped, we would think Amaziah did it right. Amaziah was one of the best kings there was. He did have a great start. We see here in our passage of Scripture, we see some evidences of that. And when we are where we need to be, we will see these evidences and many more in our lives. But we see here the evidence of his great start. The first thing we see in verses 3 and 4 is we see he obeyed the Scriptures. You see, when God has you, when you are where you need to be with the Lord, you will be obedient to the Scriptures. And if you're not as obedient as you should be, you'll want to be more and more obedient each and every day. And we see that in the life of Amaziah in verses 3 and 4. It says, "Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for their fathers, but every man shall die for his own sins." So we see a man here who knows the Scriptures and who's obedient to the Scriptures. He knew what the law said, and he was obedient to it. And when we're walking with God and where we need to be, we will know the Word of God, and we, by His grace, will be obedient to the Word of God. And we're going to see just the opposite. If we are kind of straying from God, we'll have no desire to read the Word of God or be obedient to the Word of God, and it will not have a place of priority and preeminence in our life. But he obeyed the Scriptures. But also, another evidence that he was doing well, he had obeisance or great respect for the man of God. In verses 7 through 10, the Bible says there, "But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore, their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger." So we see here, a man of God came to him, speaking on behalf of God, and said, "Do not go up and fight. If you do, you're going to lose." He said, "If you go up, you better fight hard, because you're going to lose." And we see here Amaziah, seeing that this is a man of God speaking to him on the behalf of God, and he obeyed. He had great respect for the word of the man of God. And we see that in Christianity today, in a lot of churches, people that are walking with God and they're loving the Lord, spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer. The pastor may preach a message that steps on their toes, but somebody who is walking with the Lord, they don't poke their chest out and say, "How dare you point out that in my life? How dare he say that about me?" And just so you know, I never have anybody in mind when I preach something. That may be just the Lord speaking to you, but I'm never like thinking, they need this, they need that. No. But sometimes people, if they're not where they need to be, they'll poke their chest out and say, they'll get mad about it. But somebody who is walking with the Lord, loving the Lord by His grace, that there may be a message preached that steps on their toes, that hurts a little bit, but they will take that reproof from the Word of God and by God's grace learn from it and change. And so many times in the book of Proverbs, Brother Glenn, I've been doing that this year, going through Proverbs once a month for each month, and that's been amazing. But so many times in the book of Proverbs, it talks about he that it basically takes reproof is wise, who listens to it, hears it. It's not fun to be told you're wrong. It's not fun to have stuff in your life pointed out that needs to change by the Word of God. But somebody who's walking with God will take that in humility and understand, yes, that's true. I can change, I can be better, and they'll be obedient to it. That's what Amaziah did here. He had a great start. He knew the Word. He obeyed the Word. The man of God spoke to him on behalf of God, and he reverenced what the man of God said, and he obeyed because he was speaking on behalf of God. If we stopped right here, we'd say, praise God, there's a model Christian. Let's live like that guy. But if we're not careful and we don't maintain and tend to, like I've preached before, the flame in our hearts, our relationship with the Lord, if we don't tend to that, it will wane. It will waver. Now, your relationship will never change. You will forever be a child of God if you are a child of God. But the fellowship with God, that can waver. That can be stronger. That can be weak depending on how much you're walking and striving to stay near the Lord. But we see here, Amaziah, he had a great start. We see that evidence in he obeyed the Scriptures. And he had obeisance for the man of God. He respected what he said, and he was obedient to it. Not because the man of God was something special, but because God spoke through him. And I want you to understand that. There's nothing special about me, okay? All I want to do is share with you the Word of God, and you be obedient to God, not me. I'm not up here to dictate or to lord any authority over you. I'm here to share with you what God says in hopes that by God's grace you'll be obedient, and I'll be obedient to what he has said. So we see here he had a great start. But then we see, secondly and sadly, we see the gradual straying. And there's a song I've got in my outline here, that one that kind of goes with this, by Casting Crowns, called Slow Fade. It says, be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's a second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go, for it's a little feet behind you that are sure to follow. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. When flattery leads to compromise, the end is always near. Be careful, little lips, what you say, for empty words and promises lead broken hearts astray. The journey from your mind to your hands is shorter than you're thinking. Be careful if you think you stand, you just might be sinking. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white have turned to gray. Thoughts invade, choices are made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. Daddies never crumble in a day. Families never crumble in a day. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And that song paints a picture that we see, this straying that we see from Amaziah. And when we see straying in our life, it's a gradual thing. Like we saw this morning, the church in Pergamos didn't go from being a godly church to a church that is compromising and filled with false teachers overnight. It took time. It took one sin, one disobedience, one change that dishonored God. And over time, it led to where they were at. And we need to be careful not to stray from God. That's our natural tendency, and that's what we're going to do apart from the grace of God empowering us to stay near Him, because the devil's fighting against everything in us to cause us to stray from God. Because he knows the farther we are from God, the less power we have to live for God. Because he knows when we're close to God, we're confident. And see, that's why so many Christians doubt today, doubt their salvation, are unsure they're saved, because their fellowship with God is not where it needs to be. They have strayed because they have not made God a priority, his word, maybe his house, his people. But we see here the gradual straying of Amaziah. It says in verse number 2, it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. That word perfect there means complete. We see this elsewhere in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 6. The word in the Hebrew is shalem. Shalem. And we see it in Deuteronomy 27:6. It says, "Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones," or uncut stones, complete stones. It's not divided. It is whole. It's not been touched by any instrument or by any tool. It is whole. "And thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God." That's, the word is also used as perfect, whole, full, just, peaceable, perfected, quiet, and ready. But we see here, "but not with a perfect," a complete heart. God did not have all of Amaziah. And if we're not careful, God will not have all of us. We will allow things into our lives that maybe take the place of God. And if we're not, and if we do that, that becomes an idol in our life. We see in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, I was reading this, I believe it was yesterday. This is the parable of the sower, and it is also in other places in the Bible. But and I believe that this, we're looking now at the soil that had thorns and weeds in it. Now I believe that it is a picture of someone who the gospel seed is planted, and it cannot grow into salvation because of the cares of this world. But I believe it also applies to children of God. If we're not careful, and we allow things of this world to take preeminence over God in our lives, it can choke out our fruitfulness. We cannot be, we won't be as fruitful that, as God wants us to be if we allow things of this world to stifle our growth for God. That is what having a divided heart looks like. We see in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." If we're not careful and we don't give God all of us, what part of us he does not have, just like Israel in the promised land, they killed some enemies, but they left some others. The Bible says that God told them, "The ones you left are going to be a thorn in your side for many years to come." They would grow up, they would choke, and they would prevent Israel from growing into what God wanted for them, because God did not have all of them. God had some of them, but not all of them. They were partially obedient, but they were not completely obedient. If we want to be effective for God and want God's best for our life, we've got to give God all of us. Not just part of our heart, not just the easy part of our heart to give him, but all of our heart. We need to be sure that cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, make sure that it not choke the word and us become unfruitful as children of God. That's what the devil wants. He wants us to be divided. He wants us to allow things in our life, whatever it may be. It may be something little. Maybe this is just an example. I'm not going to start getting all legalistic and bashing everything, but like TV shows or music or movies or people you hang around with or places you go or things you do. Any little thing of sin, a little weed grows into something big and can choke out the growth of a plant real fast. See, that if there's anything in our life like that, then our heart's divided. Anything. And that you say, "Pastor Tyler, that is stiff." God's got a high standard. Now, can we keep it perfectly? No, not till we get to heaven. I look forward to that day when there'll be no fight against sin, just absolute perfection and worshiping God for all eternity. But until we get there, it's going to be a fight. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can give him way more than we do. If we're honest with ourselves, if I'm honest with myself, there are many things in my life, and to be honest with you, even today, as I was studying and praying and meditating upon this scripture, God was pointing out things. Not necessarily big things, but things, that little weeds that can grow up into something big really quick. Like Brother Steve, when he talked about, when he led in ISI, he's been going through the little foxes that spoil the vines. They may seem little, but over time, they will destroy the vines. They will stifle our fruitfulness for God. We need to take an examination of our hearts and lives and say, "God, what part of me don't you have? Or what part of me needs to get gone? What's in my life that I need to change? Is there anything in my life that I have not fully turned over to you yet?" Maybe It's a smoking habit. Maybe it's dipping snuff. I mean, I'm just talking about stuff in our lives that that may be a vice that are keeping us from being what we want to be for God. I'm not saying that anybody in here needs to change those things. I'm just saying something like that. We need to be open and say, God, what's in my life that does not need to be there? What is keeping me from being the best I can be for you? What has me divided? Because if there's any sin or anything in our life that doesn't need to be there, big or small, our heart is divided. We're not going to be as effective as God wants us to be. God wants great things for us. And when our heart's divided, it's not whole and complete, and God doesn't have all of us, we'll never be what he wants us to be. And that's where Amaziah was. We see his gradual straying. And we know he had strayed because we see first. Now, remember earlier, he knew the word and he obeyed the word. He loved the word. But now we see he disobeyed the scriptures. These are evidences that he is not where he needs to be. He has begun to stray. We see in verse number 14 of the same chapter. The Bible says here, it says, "Now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he," listen to this, "that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them." He literally brought other gods into his life. Now, I seriously doubt that anybody here has a physical, literal idol in their home where they've got a shrine built to it and you go and worship it every night. I doubt anybody's got that problem. But maybe we got a problem with other things in our life. Anything that we put before God is an idol in our life. Our children can become an idol. Our spouse can become an idol. Our job can become an idol. Our cars, our things, our money, our bank accounts, our hobbies can become idols in our lives. And anything like that that we allow in to take the place of preeminence of God in our life becomes an idol. And if that stays there long enough, and we go unrepentant long enough, there will come a time where we begin to be like Amaziah and we'll begin to be disobedient to the word, which shows we are straying away. Now, as children of God, our relationship will never change. But the most miserable person in the world is not a lost man, but a saved man out of the will of God, backslidden from God, and unwilling to turn back. So we see here he disobeyed the scriptures. And the scripture he disobeyed was in Exodus 21 through 5. But then, remember earlier we talked about, we saw he was in a right place because he had reverence. He obeyed what the man of God said because he was speaking on behalf of God. Well, wouldn't you know it? Now, it's just the opposite. He allows something little in his life. He leaves it there over time. It leads to disobedience. And it leads now to him throwing off on the man of God. And how many times? If you've not been a part of it, you've heard about it. I have been a part of it in my lifetime. Where people get out of the will of God. Not living for God, not loving God as they should. And you know how that evidences it? They begin to throw off on the preacher. They begin to run him down. I've been a part of situations where they tried to run him off. That shows more about them than they realize. That showed plenty about Amaziah here. I'm not saying that I'm not worthy of you to say bad things about. The Bible just says, "Touch not mine anointed." And somebody's where they need to be. If for no other reason, the Bible says, "Speak evil of no man." But it seems like the first place they go, the first person they start speaking bad about is the pastor. I've had people come to me in the past year throwing off on their pastor. Nobody here, because I'm your pastor. You wouldn't do that to my face, I hope. Well, I guess I would rather you do it to my face than behind my back. But people have come to me throwing off on their pastor. And I would not fuel the fire. I basically say, I don't want to hear that. So I always tell them the best thing you can do is go talk to your pastor about it. First question I ask is, "Have you talked to him?" And then they usually get a mean look on their face saying, "No, I don't want to talk to him." That shows their heart. And And I'm not going to badmouth those people. We just need to understand when somebody's at that point, that shows their inner self. That when the Bible say what's in the heart comes out, what shows, that's what defileth the man, the Bible says. So we see that he disobeyed the scripture, disregarded the man of God in verses 15 and 16. Wherefore the Bible says, wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet. So another man of God comes, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? That's a good question. Why are you seeking after gods that couldn't even save their people from their enemies, from the battle? Then he says, and it came to pass as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. He said, are you part of my counsel? Shut your mouth. That's an arrogant statement. Why shouldest thou be smitten? He's like, I don't want to have to lay hands on you. Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. That's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous place to be. Amaziah, now we talked about, and I'm not saying, I don't know where the line is. We've talked about it, but the Bible talks about a sin unto death, where you go far enough in sin, you drag God's name through the mud long enough. What sin is that? How much sin is that? When is that? I have no idea, but the Bible talks about it. And that man of God said, it's coming. Amaziah is about to lose his life because he strayed so much. He dragged God's name through the mud so much that God is going to have to respond. I talked about that this morning. God says, repent now, or he's going to have to respond. And we need to, in our lives, let God search our hearts now. Let's get the sin out now, the divisions out now, before they get big. Like I've told so many times in illustration here. But this is before I was married, going back to the Jeep illustration with the trash in the floorboard. Carrie don't let me do that much anymore. But it was a lot easier to clean out if I would just pick it up and throw it away as soon as I probably shouldn't throw it in the floor to begin with, but if I just dealt with it immediately. But over time, I continued to do it and didn't deal with it, piled up, and then it became a very big issue and a hassle to clean it up. And the more we allow things and divisions and sins in our heart and life, the harder it's going to be to get it out when it comes time to get it out. Because you're going to either get it out or God's going to have to deal with it. And just like weeds and thorns, if you don't deal with them when they're small and they get big, it is a big time headache and pain to get rid of them. Same way in our lives. We don't need to get to where Amaziah is at. We need to be sure, and we'll talk about it in a moment, that we search our hearts and get rid of it. Come clean now. Give God all of us now. So we see his great start. Then we see his gradual straying. Then we see in verses 17 through 28, his grievous suffering. And I won't read all of that. But we see there, let's just read in verses 26 through 28. Amaziah goes through this whole long process. He's being disobedient to God. He's gone rogue. He's become arrogant. And that's what happens. You be disobedient to God long enough, you disregard the word of God, disregard the man of God, that just adds to pride. And then we see here it leads to destruction. Verse number 26, now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? Now after the time, listen at this, now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. And he fled to Lachish, but they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. He literally lost his life. He started great. But in a race, it's not how you start, but how you finish. And he did not finish well. It would break my heart to start well, but then to finish in a manner that displeases God. And stand before him one day as his child, but having not finished well. How sad would that be? God wants all of us. Not part of us, all of us. He wants everything that shouldn't be in us out. You say, well, that takes all the fun away, Pastor Tyler. Remember, read Leviticus 14. I'm not going to go there because you're like, you read enough of Leviticus this morning, Pastor Tyler. But Leviticus 14, the law of the leper. In that, Part of that talks about if it's in the house or in a brick of the house, you are to remove the brick, but then to replace it with a clean brick. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to take the things that don't need to be there out and then replace them with something better. God wants the best for you and me. God doesn't want us to walk around all moping and say, oh, I'm a Christian, I can't have no fun. Christians can't have no fun in this life. No, God wants the best for you and me. But the devil is spitting all those lies to us like he did to Eve. God wants the best for us. So if he tells us to get rid of something, it's because he wants to replace it with something better. And if he doesn't want to replace it with something better, it's because whatever it was should not have been there in the first place. But we've got to be sure that our heart is not divided or will never be what God wants us to be. So in conclusion, we see there, and I thank the Lord for this, there is a gracious solution. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like me. God's pointed out things in my life today that need to change, that I need to get out, that I need to give him. Maybe he's done that for you as you've heard this message. The Bible says in Psalm 139, 23, and 24, it says, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. If you want to give God all of you, pray that prayer tonight. Say, God, I'm an open book. Point it all out. Give me the grace to get rid of all of it, to change what needs to be changed, to get rid of what needs to be gotten rid of. Let's pull the weeds in our garden tonight. Let's let God pull out the things that is stifling our growth for him so that we can grow and be fruitful as he wants us to be. So how can we do this? Three things and I'll be done. Number one, obviously, repentance. It means a turning from. And I'm not saying anybody in here has got something big in their life they need to turn, but big or small, anything. We need to turn from it now before it becomes a problem. The Bible says, Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God wants to have mercy on you. Did you know that? Our God, the Bible says, delights in mercy. But we got to confess and forsake, and he promises he will have mercy upon us. If we're not willing to confess it or forsake it, he won't have mercy. But if we will, he promises to have mercy. But not only repentance, but by his grace, we need resolve. Because as soon as we forsake or change or get rid of something, the first thing the devil is going to want to try to make us do is that very thing. Or to get that very thing. Or to be around that person. Or to listen to this thing or that thing. And that's the first thing he's going to do. I want you to know that. You've heard this message. I preach this message. When we leave here, the devil's going to fight as soon as we step out those doors, if not before then. So we've got to have resolve. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. He made up his mind beforehand. He didn't wait till he got in the moment. He made up his mind beforehand. It says that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We need to purpose in our heart. We need to repent, but we need to resolve. But if that's all we do, we will fail, because if we resolve in our own power, we will fail. And I believe, in myself included, a lot of preachers and pastors, if we're not careful, we put a heavy load on people that are listening of things to do. But apart from the grace of God, we can't do it. I've had messages preached to me my entire life that were killer messages and motivated me to change. And I tried to do it in my own power. And guess what? I fell flat on my face. We need God. So we need to repent. We need to resolve. But we need to rely upon God. That's why the Bible says, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. And that literally means be ye being filled. It's not a one-time thing. It's every day, every second of every day. If we're going to be what God wants us to be in every situation, we need to be ye being filled, controlled with the Spirit. If we're not controlled by the Spirit, we will, the first opportunity we have to do that thing again or go back to that place or be around that person or whatever it may be, we're going to do it. That's why we need to beg God. That's why it talks about in Proverbs, if you want to avoid the strange woman. I'm not talking about some woman in the building. It's talking about, I believe that's talking about lust and sin. It says you need to make the Bible the apple of your eye, the center of your affection. You want to change your affection from the things of this world to God? Make the Word of God your delight. Psalm chapter 1. It begins with, blessed is the man who doesn't do three things. Doesn't sound like a very blessed man that doesn't do certain things, but that's how the Bible designates it. And why does that man not do those things? How can he overcome sin? How can he keep from following that progression? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's why the devil makes it so hard for you and me to get in the Bible. Because he knows when we get in it, when we really get in it, it'll get in us. It'll give us a love for it and for God that we've never had, and really a hatred for ourselves. Saturate yourself in the Word. I dare you. See what happens. You're going to be looking at a mirror that's going to point out everything about you and point about everything about Him, and your perspective's going to be right. You're going to hate your sin. You're going to want to, by God's grace, repent of that sin. That's why the devil fights so hard. But I encourage you, get in this book. I encourage you, get in as much as you possibly can. And that's hard. If you want to really, really get in the Word and spend a lot of time in it, that goes against all of our flesh, especially somebody who's not being used to being in it. But you do it, you be faithful to do it, over time it will transform you. In the time of my life, when God worked in my life more than ever, was when I was saturated with the Scriptures more than I ever have been. And I literally saw Romans 12:2 come true in my life. He changed me from the inside out because I got the Word of God in me. And when we get the Word in us, we'll want to get other stuff out of us. And we'll want to give God all of ourselves. That's what He wants. May God help us to do that. Maybe our prayer tonight should be, say, God, give us a love for Your Word. Give us a burden to get in Your Word. Because when you get in His Word, as a child of God, I believe everything else is going to line up. Get in it faithfully. You get in the Word of God faithfully, it'll change the way you pray. You know, when you get in the Word faithfully, it'll make you want to pray. You get in the Word faithfully, you can pray the Word. And the Bible says you pray His will, which is His Word. He hears us, and He'll answer. And it'll change you from the inside out. And He'll point out things that He wants to change. Things that shouldn't be there. And He's transforming you from the inside out into what He wants you to be. But we've got to be willing to. So we've got to repent, we've got to resolve, and we've got to rely. Because it's very dangerous as a child of God to have a divided heart. So may our prayer be, as Miss Anna comes to the piano, may our prayer be tonight to come before the Lord and say, Lord, search me. Lord, point out everything and anything that's in my life that doesn't need to be. If we're honest with ourselves, we've all probably got stuff we need to confess and we need to forsake. Maybe even stuff we didn't realize. Say, God, bring it all to my attention so that I can get it all out. Confess and forsake, and He will have mercy. As Miss Laura begins to play, with every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, the altar's open. Maybe you want to come tonight and say, Lord, search my heart. Lord, what do you want to change? What do you want to remove and replace? Maybe you just want to say, Lord, I want to give you all of me. Please, by your grace, enable me to do that. Point out things that, or give me the grace to change or to get rid of things that are not going to be comfortable to get rid of. But give me the grace to do it. And give me the grace to trust you through it. And manifest yourself to me. God wants to give us that peace that surpasses understanding. The closer you get to God, the more He has of you. The greater your joy, the greater your peace, the greater your love. The greater your burden for lost souls. The greater your burden to serve God in any capacity you can. May God help us to give Him all of us, to have a complete heart before Him. this way. Thank you very much, Miss Laura. Caught me off guard for a second. But that's cool. Thank you for doing that. You did a wonderful job. But I hope this message has been a challenge to you. I about said encouragement, but that wasn't one of those, man, leave here uplifted. But we need those. I need that. Like I told you before I got started, this was for me, if for nobody else. God wants to do great things in our life, but he can't do what he wants to do if he doesn't have all of us. So may we, as we speak to him in prayer and spend time in his word, allow him to pick apart our lives and remove, like a sculptor does on a sculpture, what parts of us that don't look like him. And as he does, we'll become more and more like Jesus. That's sanctification. That's what he wants to do for us. So I thank you all so much for your kind attention today. 7 p.m. on the nose.